says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Amen to the reading of his word. Amen. You may be seated together. Tonight, as we get ready to study a lesson, I want to give an opportunity. I don't know, since you guys talk so much, can't get any words in edgewise. Last week, I know our lesson, we didn't get completely through that. Does anybody have any questions or anything that I hope you took some time and read through? The lesson as well. I mean, do we need to finish that lesson for anybody or nobody? Again, don't all speak at once. Okay, David.
Yes.
We'll finish the lesson out from last week. Yay. Last week's lesson was entitled The Anointing. The Anointing. I want to kind of highlight then in Exodus 10:24-25, 26 was our scripture text. The first part of the introduction, the anointing of God makes all the difference in how we serve Him. And then it has a little bit of a listing of we must have the anointing for, and gives a listing of some words. That's not an exhaustive list. That there can be tons of other things added to that list. But the next sentence underneath the listing of those. Anointing is having divine, miraculous power or authority in the Holy Ghost to do a work for God. And if you realize that the anointing is something that will accomplish what God has set in motion for. And if we realize that in all that we do, I got too many papers here. Sunday morning, I kind of threw out something at the very beginning, when Sister Karen was talking. And I said, what is revival? Revival is not the emotions, the feelings, the God bumps, or whatever else you think. But revival is the passion of God's children to draw closer and closer to Him. And when we think about the anointing, revival is not going to come haphazardly, but anointing will follow or will lead the way into that revival. And again, if you look at what I wrote, anointing is having divine, miraculous power or authority in the Holy Ghost to do a work for God. And that's all what revival is. Can you give Linda an outline, please? Anointing is definitely not something that can be bought or taken or appointed by men, but only God can give that anointing that makes the difference. If you drop down to the next bold writing, the anointing changes our personality. When God's Spirit moved upon Moses, it took away his excuses. In Exodus 3:11, you see where it shows the identity. Exodus 4:1, low self-esteem. Exodus 4:10, lack of skill. The understanding of what transpires when God moves upon. Sister Trish made a statement that I don't know, again, exactly how she said it, but I could relate and understand. Anybody that's ever taught or have been used by God or had the anointing come upon them, it's like you have supernatural strength, but once the anointing leaves you, it's like you are physically drained. And I know that feeling, but I'm glad that the Lord lets His anointing fall freely upon those He chooses to do. The next on page 2, spiritual dryness. Again, remember in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1, Moses watching his father-in-law's sheep ended up taking them back to the backside of the desert. A desert is already a dry, barren place that doesn't have much food or water. And why you would take sheep to the backside of the desert, but it was all in God's planning and one of the things that he saw on the backside of the desert was the burning bush. He would not have had that burning bush experience if he had not led the sheep to the backside of the desert. If you drop down to the last paragraph in that little section, you could reference this example to the church today. Dry saints means no anointing. Dry churches because of dry saints. And I shared last week as well as other times that we can have the power of God moving and ministering. We can see signs and wonders, miracles taking place right in the midst. But yet you still have people that are drying up. Why? Because of the spiritual dryness. And we're going to be going into something that I believe that would take care of that for each one of us. But on that backside of the desert is where he came to the mountain of God. In Exodus chapter 3, verse number 2, it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed." In other words, giving Moses another glimpse of the power of God and the reassuring that God would be with him. And that leads to Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." In other words, he's seen their afflictions. He's seen what their trials, their tribulations, their storms, their problems, their issues, and he still sees today what's going on in your life as well. Right now, God knows each and everything that is affecting you. If you realize that latter part of verse 7, "and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." It's too bad that things have to get so bad before we cry out to God. You missed a good spot to say amen, Aaron.
Amen.
But think about that. How many hardships, how many problems could we head off just if we would simply, when things would start, that we would just cry out to God instead of get on the phone or text or Facebook message, whatever you guys use on your social media. But we need to understand that God's ears were attentive to the Israelite nation in Egypt under Pharaoh's bondage. And you have to cry out to God with passion. Now, what's passion? Is passion something that we just, now I lay me down to sleep? What would you consider a passionate prayer to God?
Something that's like heartfelt.
Oh, now you just wait a minute.
That's all I have to say.
Well, you're going to have to say it all over again. You ought to know that don't work with me.
So I, to me, it'd be like something that's heartfelt, something that you just, you feel it, you just want it. You know, that's, I guess, what passion would be.
And I know everybody else is going to say ditto. That's what I was going to say. But yes, a passionate prayer. And I think in James it says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent. That means there's some gumption, get up and go in your prayer. It's not that, oh, I got to do this, I got to pray, so what do I got to pray about? I might as well pray about that. I think in several times I've used the illustration, if you happen to fall into a raging river, you wouldn't be floating down that river and see a bunch of people on the bank and just say, hey, help. Can you help me, please? You'd be screaming at the top of your lungs. And usually, if I'm preaching, that'd be where I'd scream it. Help. Amen. So, needless to say, the last part of that is, I know their sorrows. And yes, He is a personal God that cares. In Exodus, the 3rd chapter, verse number 8, He goes on to say, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to do a good, or to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Havites and the Jebusites. And that's a lot of ites. But I'm sure we could come up with some more. But think about it. God came to the mountain of God so that He could see the burning bush. That He could get the inspiration by God to go in. And I know, I'm not sure, I think I skipped over it, but God took away all of Moses' excuses. He still allowed Moses to get out of directly addressing Pharaoh, other than taking up the rod and putting it down and God performing those miracles. But he had to listen to God and get what needed to be said to Pharaoh. And then he instructed who to talk for him. Who was that, Aaron? What's your name, Aaron? Young whippersnapper, is that what you said? He had to give the words to Aaron. He gave the instructions to Aaron, and Aaron is the one who talked for Moses. That's where we stopped last week. So that leads into the next bold statement. God will save you and help you. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, He says, so He said, I will certainly be with you, And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. I am so thankful that God is a God of details. And he does not haphazardly do anything. Pentecostal churches, people, think that the Holy Ghost is there as their excuse to shoot from the hip, where God does things in a specific way, plan, and order. And that's what the anointing brings together in our lives. Let's take a look at some New Testament anointing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, will abide in him. I'm so thankful that the anointing will guide us or lead us into all truth. And the truth being what? Based upon God's word. Not on your opinion, not on my opinion, but what does the Word of God say? James 5:14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, verse 17. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Why would God give us that instruction? But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Why? Because you got a dirty snout or what? Been rooting in the mud? God's instructions there is for your faith to be stirred up. When you fast, is fasting done so that others see how holy you are? No. So that's why he says for you to be, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. People should not see that you're fasting. But they will see the results of that fasting if you keep it between you and God. Because God will openly reward and reveal what has been done in secret. Hebrews 1:9. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. That brings joy to us. I'm so thankful when I feel his anointing, and I'll always accept his gladness and his blessings upon my life. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. This scripture talks about ordaining us as Christians. He who has established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Humility, talking about Luke 7:46. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. And we all know the story there. It was a big stink because the other disciples thought that she shouldn't be wasting that. They could sell it and get money for food and so on and so forth. But that was the ministry that Mary had. Mark 6:13. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Again, it wasn't them, but it's the signs following those. And I thank God for the next one, the Holy Ghost fire. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And that being Jesus Christ, but today he is using the church. He is using the children of God. And he is using the anointing, the Holy Ghost fire, to accomplish that mission of souls being saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in that Holy Ghost fire with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, and so on and so forth. The next bold statement. The anointing can rest upon you. Now there's a few things here that I just want to point out. Some examples. The anointing is not just for these big tasks at hand. The anointing can be for everyday living. I know these are big ones like Noah. The anointing rested upon him when he built the ark. It was upon Moses when he preached to Pharaoh. The anointing was upon Abraham since he left his hometown. The anointing was when Elijah called fire down from heaven. John the Baptist experienced the anointing when he preached about true repentance and was the forerunner before Jesus Christ. Isaiah had the anointing of boldness when he preached to kings. New Testament wise, Peter had the anointing when he preached the first Pentecostal message on the day of Pentecost. Paul was anointed when he spread the gospel. The disciples were anointed when they had signs and wonders following them who believe. Mark 6:13. And I thank God that the Lord has not changed one little bit, but He is the same as He was back in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, and is still the same today and forever. The anointing is at the door. We have so many examples to look at. He can bring water out of a rock. He can make a donkey talk. He can give a double portion of the Spirit. He can knock down the walls of Jericho. He can make the sun stand still until the battle is won. He can wipe out the Philistines with a jawbone. He can deliver three boys in a fiery furnace. He can turn water into wine. He can walk on water. He can fill empty nets with fish. He can feed a multitude a couple times. He can go to the cross, but the nails won't hold him. He can go to the grave, but the stone could not contain him. There is a lot of other things that can be listed there. We could walk over to our wall of fame over here, signs, wonders, and miracles, and start to read the testimonies of people that you can tell walked in the anointing at some point in some time. To receive that miracle or that intervention. If you go through that list, God is just waiting to pour out His anointing upon a willing vessel. And not only willing, but then you must be obedient. Willingness does not get the job done. You first have to be willing, but you have to also be obedient to what that anointing is trying to accomplish. And I said earlier, what would happen if we would call out to God earlier in situations? And they wouldn't get up to these great, big, huge, unsurmountable tasks that we think that is a mountain too high or a valley too wide, a river too deep, so on and so forth. What would happen if we'd cry out with passion when it was small? Wouldn't we have more victories in our life? And aren't these learning experiences for the children of God? big bold letters at the end. That is the anointed God that we serve today. When we look back at Luke 4:18, and Jesus speaking, knowing full well that yes, he was and still is the Son of God, part of the Trinity, but yet he said, the Spirit is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And what is the Great Commission for the church today in 2024? Get up, get ready, David. There's hands going up all over the place. Well, how can you see at the back of your head? What is the Great Commission? What's that? Oh, Linda wants the microphone?
I feel is to reach the people, to get out and preach the gospel to them, and to let them know that our God is alive and that he's with us all the time. The commission is to win souls.
To preach the gospel, huh? Win souls. To proclaim to the world that Jesus is alive. And Jesus as well. All things are possible. Nothing is too difficult. Absolutely nothing. Amen. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Nothing? All hearts and minds clear? The blank stares? David?
Yeah.
Never mind. We'll do it this way. Sorry. That's all right. We're going to do it different. I want you to turn with me to James chapter 4. As you know, our theme for this year is Restore and More in 24. It's about time that God's people, God's church, takes back what the devil has stolen from us. And not only what the devil has stolen, but what the church has given up. It didn't take much effort on his part to take a lot of the things that we have lost. But I believe God is getting ready to do some great and awesome things for you as an individual, but it's also going to manifest and help our church out. Well, that's two of us. That's a start. Revival begins with one person at a time. It's not a special speaker that comes in. It's still each vessel wanting to have a greater in-depth relationship with a personal God. Again, it is the passion of God's children to draw closer and closer to Him. Stop and think of the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve. What happened in the cool of the day? What does Scripture say? That God would come and meet them in the cool of the day until sin came in. But you know that that's eventually what God is going to get back to. Is the scenario of no sin, no effects of the devil or the army of fallen angels. That's the plan that God has. When we think about what needs to take place in my life as well as your life, do you know that God does not look at me any differently than He does you? It's as important for you to draw closer to God as it is for me to. Doesn't have anything to do in your position in the body of Christ. Your positions or position in the church has nothing to do with any of that. But it simply is, if you're saved, you need to get closer to God. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10 is what I want to share with you right now, and that will lead up to the next Bible study that we'll have, and it's entitled Drawing Near to God. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Verse number 10. I was starting to read humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. James 4, 7 through 10. Between now and 2 weeks from tonight, next week is our together service. Do some reading and studying. That first word in verse number 7. Remember that any time that you see in Scripture where God says, therefore, because of what God had just spoken and said in the previous verses is why he put therefore. Because of what he just got done saying, I challenge you to read those first 6 verses and see what God is saying to you as a child of God. If you don't get it at first, don't give up. I want you to pray and ask the Lord to help you. I don't know if you read the Bible in the morning, in the evening, before you go to bed. It doesn't matter. The next time you pick up the Bible to read these verses of Scripture, find out and ask the Lord again what it is that you need to see in those first 6 verses of Scripture. Why is it that you need to draw near to God? Again, that therefore connects the previous verses with these verses. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Do you take that challenge? I pray that you do, because if God can reveal that important factor to you personally, I can preach the best and teach the best for year after year, but it still takes God sparking that. Remember what I said Sunday. The passion of God's children. What are you passionate about? I get a chuckle out of every time that I see somebody that is getting paid big bucks, or will eventually, whether you're watching the March Madness that's on now, that started today, well, yesterday it started the NIT, but the March Madness is today and this evening. But it's like Shaquille O'Neal. Does everybody know Shaq? Big basketball player of several years behind. Pathetic. In the 50% range for free throws. That means nobody's standing in front of him trying to block it. A wide open shot. I think you get paid millions of dollars to miss free throws when all it would take is a little bit more effort. Tiger Woods, 500 balls a day, minimum. Would you say that's passionate? But that's why he could play golf the way he could. Paul Laverne Walker can quote 7 different translations. Quote, walks to the pulpit with a hanky, period. From Genesis to Revelation. You know why that is? Because he studied and studied and studied. Where there's passion, draw near to God in passion. Amen. I appreciate Brother Mark coming down to help out on the sound with us. I know enough to be dangerous. You don't want me playing around with it. But I thank him and then Brother Richard on the live stream. I'm going to ask you to stand. Offering basket is here. If you've brought tithes and offering in. But let's pray. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, we just believe tonight, God, for miracle after miracle, sign after sign, wonder after wonder. We thank you, Lord, that we can feel and sense the anointing, the urgency of your Holy Spirit in these end time days that we live in. We know tonight, God, that it's truly good to know that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we are on our way to heaven, but on that journey that we continue in, we just ask that we see more souls saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost fire and power, seeing signs, wonders, and miracles following us who believe. Tonight, Father, I thank you for our lesson. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for bringing the effectiveness out of that word that we've studied, whether it's in the children's class or downstairs in the youth or tonight here in the sanctuary for the adults. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to give. We ask that you bless the offering. We ask that you bless the giver as they give unto you, Lord. And we ask it in the precious name of Christ our Lord. And the church said, amen. Amen.